Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 14, verses 15 through 24. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from the Holy Gospel of St. Luke, the 8th chapter. And there came a man named Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, and falling at Jesus' feet, he implored him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she was dying. As Jesus went, the people pressed around him, and there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately her discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, "Who was it that touched me?" When all denied it, Peter said, "Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing in on you." But Jesus said, "Someone touched me, for I perceive that power has gone out from me." And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declared in the presence of all the people why she had touched him and how she had immediately healed. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." While he was still speaking, someone from the ruler's house came and said, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher anymore." But Jesus, on hearing this, answered him, "Do not fear, only believe, and she will be well." And when he came to the house, he allowed no one to enter with him except Peter and John and James and the father and mother of the child. And all were weeping and mourning for her. But he said, "Do not weep, for she is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him, knowing that she was dead. But taking her by the hand, he called, "Child, arise." And her spirit returned, and she got up at once. And he directed that something should be given her to eat. And her parents were amazed, and he charged them to tell no one what had happened. O Lord, have mercy upon us. In the name of Jesus, amen. I have to confess that I've never been a fan of the windows in this chapel space. Most days, like today, you have to squint. You find yourselves longing, just longing for the sunglasses that find a home in your car. Right? The better days, though, ironically, are dark and dreary. But sunny days, or not, they're always, every day, a distraction par excellence, in the negative sense. No seat is immune either. It doesn't matter where you sit. Sirens, beeps, and bangs, traffic, construction, and geese jumping off the roof. It's always, look at me, out here, be distracted, stop up your ears. In other words, set your minds on earthly things. All the same, you look out these windows and you see a world going by that cares very little about what's going on in here. To be fair, I'm sure that there are faithful Christians out there pouring concrete on Kirkwood Road, driving past and running errands, but they're in the minority, and increasingly so with every passing day. By and large, the society out there in which we live seeks to know only itself. It seeks its own end. And perhaps the most dangerous part for us is that it expects and demands that you and I conform to its will and assimilate. If you don't celebrate their sin, if you don't celebrate their pride and rejoice in it, well, then you will be coerced and you will be forced until you do. We're not all the way there yet, but we're not that far off either. And to this, some might say the prudent course of action would be to circle the wagons, to isolate, to raise up the defenses and play it safe. Others might encourage the abandonment of watchtowers altogether, to meet the people where they are, to mirror, to mimic, and to win them over after you've tussled each other's hair like old pals and convinced them that you're just like them, like some kind of philosophical or religious Trojan horse. but not so our Lord. His command for the church is neither to isolate nor abandon. His command is simple. Preach the word. That's it. Not convince or cajole or stay cool and current. Simply preach the word here, there, everywhere. Plant at home. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Encourage one another. Teach, baptize, and consecrate, all with the word. Now this is how Luke chapter 8 begins, with the sower recklessly scattering the seed, and then the lamp being taken from under the bed, from out from under the jar, and set and placed on the stand for all to see. To see, not the lamp, but to banish the darkness and to teach us all to see what is good and right and true and real. And this way, the word, and with the word, we distinguish good from bad, false from true, faux from real. The word scattered, after all, is what softens the hearts of men, and it opens the eyes of the blind. It's the word that calms the storm and heals the man with demons, also from Luke chapter 6. It's the word that enlivens faith, and it raises the dead. Still, even at the end of chapter 8 in our reading this morning, the girl was dead. Everyone could see it. They all knew it, and they laughed at the thought of her state changing as if it was some sort of cruel joke. Yet, child, arise, he says, and it happens. Her spirit returns, and if there were any lingering doubts to that bodily resurrection, it's put to rest. Give her something to eat. She's hungry. Flesh and blood, after all, need energy, and they need strength to grow and flourish. And it's the same with the woman who had a discharge of blood, though this time the word is not spoken, but incarnate, in the flesh, unless anyone think that it was the woman's doing who, under her own strength, reached out and grabbed. Jesus says, who was it? He says, someone touched me. Even here the word is teaching and instructing. For it was not her work that brought the healing, but faith. To be more specific, it was the object of her faith that caused her to be healed. To Jesus, you see, it was neither a surprise that this thing happened, nor was it unbidden. Come to me, all who labor, and I will give you rest, he says. Take my yoke and my burden, for it is easy and light. Likewise, let the little children come to me. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And the piece de resistance? No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws them. In this way, too, he says to you, this is my body. Take and eat. This is my blood. Drink of it, all of you. The incarnate word, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins, consecrated by his spoken word for you, dear Christian, to eat and to drink. This is his gift par excellence in the proper sense of the term that strengthens your faith toward him and gives you a fervent love toward one another. Thus our Lord sends out and sends forth his word on the lips of those made clean by his body and his blood. For we did not receive the command like Jairus to tell no one, but to go into all the world, starting here. The church needs both Peter's and Paul's. It needs them to preach here and there, everywhere. It needs Stephen's and Mary's to serve and to love. It needs the church needs Martin's and Katie's. It is a bold and sometimes dangerous thing to confess the word and to confess the truth before men who deny it. So be warned and keep your eyes and your ears open. And yet know that even this is not our work. This too belongs to Christ. For it is his word that we carry to our families, that we carry to our neighbors and to the ends of the earth, far and near, there and here. He will bless it, and he will give the growth that he sees fit. To him alone be all glory, honor, and worship now and forever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.